In today's episode, we'll have Jim Cermak back on, continuing the journey on his trade show success roadmap, finishing up those four last steps right after this. Welcome back to Watch Time, everybody. So we got Jim back here again. We'll be kind of diving back into these last four steps. So thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. I love talking trade shows, as you know.
Yes.
If you caught the last episode, you know that too.
Yeah, it was a longer episode. We're going to get you out of here a little quicker this time. But hopefully you found a lot of value in that. I did. I just think, like, I know, like, anything like this, anything you're passionate about, you know, marketing, sales, like helping companies succeed, I get passionate about it. I can talk at length about video and digital marketing for video and all that. So definitely understand. So why don't we jump in? Let's go to number five. We left off at designing the attendee journey, number four last time. Yeah. We closed all that out. So what's number five?
So number five is training your staff for success. So the way I look at it, and I've worked with so many shows where you have these guys and girls who are trade show experts, you know, they've worked so many shows, they're in sales, and they're just horrible at shows. They're just awful at working shows. They don't know how to work a show. They stand there on their phone. They don't engage with people. So it's training your staff really, really how to work a show. And that starts back at, here's everything about the show. Everything we talked in step one about researching the show, share that with your team. Here's who's going to be at the show. Here's the level of people that are going to be at the show. Here's some of the key customers that we know are going to be here. Mm-hmm. So share that kind of stuff. Now, here's our goals. Here's what we're trying to accomplish here. Here's the different goals. Here's what we're trying to do. Maybe you have a multi-day show. So, hey, day one, we're trying to hit 20 qualified leads because our goal is over this 3 days is 60. So let's break this up into chunks. So sharing all your goals and metrics with them. Sharing, you know, about the booth, all the different aspects of the booth, and then the attendee journey. Make sure they are on point with what we're doing to bring people in. Here's the questions we're asking. Mm-hmm. Here's step two. Once we get them in, here's how we're going to capture their information. Maybe we've got an iPad preloaded with questions we're going to lead people through. Maybe you've got a kiosk. Maybe you've got pencil, paper. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're scanning a badge. Whatever it is to get them started into the attendee journey and getting through that. So that's what we're going to be training everybody. So they are all understand what to do. And of course, they need to understand, okay, we're wearing the blue polos the first day. We're wearing the other polos the second day. Whatever it is, make sure that they are on point with that. Make sure that everyone looks good. Make sure they understand when we need to be here. They shouldn't be walking in when the show floor opens. They should be there early and prepped, ready to go. And that they understand that they're not supposed to be on their, you know, some booth etiquette. Don't be on your phone during the show hours. Mm-hmm. There's time for that. Your job right now is to be here at the show, not checking your email, not following up on that sale that you're trying to make. You're here at the show to work the show, to engage with these people and whatever other goals that you have for them. So you need to go through this and make sure even those people that are those crusty veterans that they don't want to talk to you and they don't want to hear your spiel, make sure everyone, if this is your job, if this is your company and your business, it's worth the time to train the people the right way.
I think this is important because, like, if you think about, like, number four, designing the attendee journey, like training your staff for success. I mean, number five, these people are really they're the guide to the attendee journey. Like, they're the one who's taking them on this journey.
Exactly.
So I think this is such a huge thing. And I honestly think, too, like, I mean, let me know your thoughts on this. But I feel like part of this is also identifying with your staff, like for any company, like there are certain people in the company that should not be customer facing because they're not salespeople.
Yeah, right.
Certain people in the company that shouldn't be, you know, like doing the work because they don't understand the technician role. So I think this is one of those things too, where I think people that are watching this, you need to really think about the people you have staffing your booth, and you shouldn't just be probably taking everybody from your team and throwing them in there. You should say, well, who's really good? And is it wrong to say, like, if you're like, well, we really need three people, but only two of them are good at this. Like, maybe you need to find somebody else that can be good at it, that can be trained, that can come in just for that event.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point because we all have different skills. Mm-hmm. You have some people that are extroverts, some people that are introverts. You know, some people that are scared to interact with people because they don't want to appear salesy and they're afraid of rejection and all that. Okay, maybe they're there, maybe they're your lead engineer, and they can answer all the technical questions that nobody else knows. You know, so they get asked, anything they get asked, they can answer it. So maybe that's why you want them there to do demos, to answer those technical questions. Fantastic. That's their role. Mm-hmm. Don't force them to be out in front. Have them playing their role. Maybe they have some other things that they're also going to be doing. And maybe if you're a smaller company and you don't have a big staff, maybe you have two people that work for your company, or maybe you're a solopreneur. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Maybe you hire somebody or you ask somebody to help you work the booth. You know, they have these wonderful people called brand ambassadors that you can hire them. You get them one of your shirts so they look like they're working for your company. You give them the script, and that their whole job is just to bring people in. And maybe you're that. Maybe you're the business owner, but you're not very comfortable at talking to people and bringing them in. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where you hire someone to come in and just engage those people, and they can hand them over to you as part of that journey. So, yeah, great point there.
No, that's great advice. I didn't even think about that with hiring a brand ambassador. That's good. It's a great idea. Like, bring somebody in, like, and even like you were saying, like having the technician there, like that's very valuable.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some big companies out there that exclusively use brand ambassadors. Don't want to name the name of the company, but a very large luxury car brand. Mm-hmm. You go to these big auto shows, and the people that work in their booth do not work for the company. Mm-hmm. They are trained people to, their whole job is to capture your information, lead you through that attendee journey, and get you on your way. That's what they are trained to do. And I remember having actually someone from one of the local dealerships in the booth. They didn't know anywhere near the product knowledge as one of these brand ambassadors, which blew me away.
Yeah.
So they don't feel like, oh, this is a lesser person that you're bringing in. No, that's their job. Their job is to work these kind of events and bring people in and engage. So yeah, definitely check those out. I've had a couple of interviews and podcast episodes with brand ambassador companies talking about this and when you should try one how they vet their people and all that good stuff. So it's good stuff.
I will say, like, just off of that, like, this is just for people that are watching, listening. If you do go to a trade show, not as an exhibitor, but as an attendee, and you're thinking, like, I'm going to go and I'm going to network and pass out business cards, like, to these people that are exhibiting, like, this is one good thing to think about, is that you may not actually be talking to somebody from the company. So that's just worth mentioning. Yeah. If you're watching this and you're like, well, I'm not going to be at a trade show, I'm not going to be exhibiting, but I might go and try and sell, you might be talking to a brand ambassador.
Absolutely. Oh, and just a word of caution for anyone that does that, and you're going and say, well, I don't want to invest in a booth, but I'm just going to go there and I'm going to pitch and I'm going to try and sell that way and be like an exhibitor without an exhibit. They don't look too kindly on people like that. So I've had people get kicked out. Not me personally, had people get kicked out, but I've known people that have gotten kicked out of shows because they were just there to sell. And that is not a good look. Not a good look at all. All right.
Okay, so now number 6. This is the one that I was most excited about talking about in the last episode.
Awesome. Market to drive traffic. So unless you are a household name and you've got this 30x30 booth that's double-decker and you've got the video screens and all this and people can't miss it and you're right at the entrance, people need to know why they should come to visit you. Okay, and for the vast majority of companies, anyone's been to a show, the majority of companies you've never heard of before, or maybe you've heard of them, but you're not really 100% sure what they do. And so why should I come to see you? Why should I come to your booth? So I might get a postcard in the mail from somebody that says, come visit us. And they don't tell me why. Okay. Just because you're at a show doesn't mean I'm going to seek you out. There's got to be a reason. So, and whatever marketing you're doing, whether that's your social media posts, whether that is your sending out direct mail, whether that is, you know, getting banner ads on the show website, or whatever kind of marketing you're doing, give people a reason why they should come to you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're launching a new product, you're launching a new service, you're doing some amazing demos, you're going to have a celebrity in a booth doing a book signing, you're doing a meet and greet, you're doing whatever it is, you're doing something special. So if I think, I just love auto shows, and so if I think of going to an auto show, I might think, I really don't want to go to the Jeep booth. But then I find out they're going to have this thing where I can get into Jeep and I can go up and down these hills and go over these bumps and experience something. Oh, then I'm going to seek that out.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to think, how can I do that for the people coming to the show? Mm-hmm. What, why should I give them, you know, why should they seek me out? Okay. Yeah. Give them a reason to seek you out. And another thing is, make it very clear where you are in the show. So put your booth number really big and bold. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the back corner, then you need to tell people, we're in the back corner. Come see us. Yeah. You know? Or maybe you're doing a great giveaway, whatever it is. But you want to make sure you give people a reason why and tell them where you are. Mm-hmm. And if it's multiple halls, if it's a really big show, tell them, give very specific information where they're at, where you're at. So you want to drive traffic. That's why.
No, that's great advice. I think, I mean, that just goes back to like marketing in general. Like you got to tell people what to do. Like you have to give them a good call to action, and it's got to be worth their time. Like I know we were talking earlier, this whole like come say hi. Like that's not, you know, like what are you doing with that? You know, I do like the idea of like, you know, promoting a product launch. I think is great. If, you know, if you're a service based business, for example, maybe you don't have a new product or service line coming out, but I like doing a giveaway, you know, or. Yeah. Or maybe even if there's what's your thoughts on like maybe having an industry expert? Like if there's somebody that's maybe an expert in your industry, you can team up with them. They could be at your booth. Maybe it's you.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have a booth, like, hey, come talk to me and I'll give, you know, I'm answering questions on XYZ. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Or I've had clients do this before where they set up a little seminar in their booth. If you have a big enough booth, and that could be a 10 by 20. So your 10 by 10 is your booth, and next to it, you have a couple chairs set up. You've got a video monitor, and you say, you know, at 2:00, we're doing a demonstration on this, or we're doing a little seminar about the top three reasons you need to use ABC lubricants, you know, for your machinery. You know, so give people a reason. So, and you know what draws crowds is a crowd. If you see a crowd of people at a booth, all of a sudden you're going, why are there so many people at that booth?
Yeah.
You know, and now people are drawn there and they start, why are people? Oh, they're about to give a seminar here, or they're about to do a giveaway, or they're about to do, you know, whatever. But you think of those things. And that's all part of your marketing, not just before the show, but also during the show. What can you do to drive traffic during the show? So that could be geo-targeted social media posts. Mm-hmm. That could be sponsoring, you know, something, like I said, if you get on a schedule where we're doing a special seminar or a demo at our booth at this time, so to let people know. Also engage the senses. So you're walking down this big long aisle of 10 by 10 booths. How do you get my attention? You know, it could be lighting, could be just engaging the senses in different ways. You're popping popcorn. You've got a barista. So all of a sudden there's smells, or maybe you're doing aromatherapy. Maybe you're a florist and you've got that floral scent, and people all of a sudden they're a couple aisles over and they're like, I've been looking for the scent. Where is this coming from? So that's part of your marketing during the show to drive traffic to your booth.
I feel like this goes back to the last episode when you were talking about research the show, and we were talking about like talking to media and PR and getting like using somebody from PR and getting that information out there. Because if you're doing a live demo, maybe you can connect with the trade publication that's going to be there and say, hey, why don't you guys come here? You can get a look at it. You can do an interview. You guys can cover it. And then maybe they'll promote it for you.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
What a great idea. And that could happen. That could definitely happen. And you can even tell them, hey, I'll give you an exclusive.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to any other publications, and I'll have you come over and cover this this live demo.
Well, and I feel like with social media today and the ability to go live, what an opportunity to say, why don't you guys come to our booth? I'm just going to do it with you. You guys can go live so that this new product that's being released or this new seminar for this new lubricant, whatever it is, like it's going to go live on Facebook, on LinkedIn, through your platform.
Yeah.
And tag us and you guys, that's the exclusive. And now they're promoting it.
Yeah.
It's just a great opportunity. This is exciting. I love marketing. this is a great advice. So what's next? What are we going to?
So your marketing to drive traffic, the next thing is you've got to make sure you have your follow-up strategy in place before the show starts. You've got to have everything laid out. Mm-hmm. And you can be as detailed as you want, as get as granular as you want, but make sure everything is locked and loaded so that when you go to the show and you come back, mm-hmm. So many companies, they come back and then they figure out what they're going to do. Oh, we're going to email the people. Or we're going to, and things just get pushed off because life happens. When you're away at the show, all of a sudden, all these emails for your day-to-day job are piling up, and you come back and you've got all this stuff to follow up with, and you got all these things to catch up, and then a week goes by, and then, oh, shoot, I haven't done the follow-ups yet. And then they do the follow-ups, and your competitors beat you to the punch, and so you miss out on all these opportunities, or people forget that, who are you again? What booth? What product is that? You don't want any of that. You want to make sure that you have things going out timely and automate as much as possible. So you have that drip campaign already ready to go. You're just dropping email addresses into it. And please segment as much as possible. And by that, you're going to have conversations with some people that maybe they just came in and they put in a business card to join a drawing, or that you just scanned a badge. That's one level. The next level is you've qualified them and you've had some sort of conversation with them. Next level is they're one of your whales. They're one of this is going to be an amazing, could be one of our top customers ever. You want to follow up with them differently, each one differently. So have them going down a different path, have different messaging that is appropriate to the conversation you had or the interaction you had with that your booth. But again, have that automated so you have all the group one people get this email list, and make sure you don't stop at one email, okay? Because how many times do we just delete emails or it goes to our spam folder? Make sure you're following up and you have a couple, and then get on the phone if you need to.
Yeah, that's great advice. I just want to add to that email, that book that I mentioned, Fanatical Prospecting, he talks about cold emails, and he says that in the book, it's like 5 to 10, it takes 5 to 10 touches to engage a warm lead. Mm-hmm. And it takes anywhere from 10 to 20 touches to engage a cold lead, just to get them to respond. So to your point, having that multiple email sequence, and I feel like that has to be planned ahead of time, because I don't know about other companies out there. I know about us and how we do things, and I know about our customers when we have to get scripts approved. A lot of times it's like, first you have to input, at least for us, everyone has to be input into the CRM if they're not in there already. Then you have to decide what that email is going to look like. We're small and nimble enough that I can make the decision. But if you're a big company, I imagine you probably have to get all these emails approved by sales and marketing and HR and legal. And then they're like, okay. And then to your point, it's like it's a weekend. You're already a week back from the show, and it's going through its next review. And that's one sequence in the email chain. So if you have all that set, that makes sense, because you can come back, and maybe even while you're at the show, you could for me, whenever I go to a show and we're doing work for customers, like we go and get dinner, but after we get dinner, I go back to the room, I do work. Mm-hmm. I'm inputting, I'm transferring footage, or maybe we're cutting something together. So I feel like there's nothing to be, if once we go to a show, what I would do personally is I would enter those people in the CRM that night after you eat dinner. This way, to your point, you're ready to go. You get back, messaging is set, they're already in there. Day after the trade show ends, boom, all of a sudden there's an email sequence.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I've even had some people, and I've had some discussions about whether this is a good thing or not, but sending that first point of follow-up, whether that's an email or a social, a message on LinkedIn or whatever, hey, it was great meeting you today at the show.
Yeah.
Looking forward to talking to you next week. Just that quick connection right away. You're not trying to do the follow-up right then. Because I've gotten those the same day. It's like, well, here's what we talked about. I was like, I'm still at the show. I've got a whole another day or 2 days, and I'm traveling home. Yeah. I don't want to look at this yet. And now all of a sudden, they may never email me again, and now it's lost. It's gone forever. So make sure it's timely, that it's appropriate, and the messaging is appropriate as well.
What's your thought on, for some of those people that are, maybe those big prospects you want to engage, or people that are, maybe hotter, a hotter lead, where it's, it seemed like they're kind of ready, they're in that buying window, even doing, a postcard follow-up, or, an actual, handwritten note follow-up from the show?
That's awesome. I love that, because that breaks through the clutter. Okay. Not many people get handwritten notes anymore. Mm-hmm. Doing that, I know it's old school, but it works. It works because people, like I said, just don't get that. And so that's a great way to connect one more time. Something we mentioned in our last episode was starting that follow-up right there at the booth. Mm-hmm. So setting those expectations, whether that is scheduling and something that I don't think it was in the episode, but we talked about was, having a QR code that leads right to your to a Calendly account or, mm-hmm. or your calendar where they can go in and they could schedule their own follow-up.
Yeah.
And how powerful is that if they're scheduling their own follow-up, and that way you've got something that they have taken part in that makes that even more solid, that follow-up.
No, I think that's great advice. I think just having a strategy in general, follow-up strategy, like you're saying, like just even knowing where you're going and having it ready to implement, because I mean, I've been to, not in the exhibitor side, but just on the attendee side where I've gone to trade shows and working with clients, and I'll pick up business cards for prospects. I'm like, oh, like that's a cool company. I should reach out to them. And, you know, and maybe I'll meet that person, but then I come back and I have a handful of business cards. And I didn't even think about it as like somebody who's at the show working as like, well, how would I reach out to these exhibitors to try and talk to them? Or if I got a chance to meet somebody. So I think just like having something, it's just like, because what ends up happening to me is that stack of business cards, if I don't do something actively with them, they sit on my desk, and then a week could go by, 2 weeks go by, and mm-hmm. then to your point, you're trying to like, then you're I always hate when you have to message people and be like, hey, you know, I wanted to connect with you. It was great seeing you a couple weeks ago at the trade show. We talked about XYZ, just wanted to connect. And the person's like,
yeah,
who is this? Like, I don't, you know, they probably met a ton of people.
Right. Oh, yeah. If you're at a show, tons of people that you meet, and you could have great conversations. Did I meet him at the booth? Did we meet at the bar? Did we meet at what was that? Yeah. So you don't. Yeah. And a good friend of mine has a saying. He says information is perishable. So the second you've left, you know, even 5 minutes go by, other things distract you, and you've lost some of that conversation you just had. So taking those notes down mm-hmm. as soon as you're done, or pull out your phone, take a voice recording, or do a selfie video. Said, hey, just talked with Bob from ABC Company. Mm-hmm. We talked about this product, and we talked about me following up next week to schedule a demo.
Yeah.
You know, so you have that, and then you can play those back. Oh, shoot, yeah. Then you match it up with the business card or with the badge scan or whatever it is, and you've got effective follow-ups that you can make from there.
Well, and I think it's a big, like, I'm just thinking about, like, the big names, right? Like, so to me, if I'm exhibiting and like I want to talk to this company and I get a chance to meet the CMO, like it's an impression, like for me, I'm going to remember because mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a chance to talk to this person.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
to that CMO, they're probably like, okay, it's cool. I talked to Bill here and I talked to 10 other people and you know how, you know, so
yeah,
to that person, it's not even, I'm right. not even standing out. I'm just one of the many booths that they stopped
exactly
at.
Right. But so this could be your, that can make your year.
Yeah.
If you land that customer or make that great connection.
Yeah.
And maybe you, and this is something that people, and I wasn't going to go down this path, but I just want to talk about real quick, giveaway items, logoed items, things like that. Mm-hmm. I just want to talk about one thing very specific, and that is to have a high end giveaway item, possibly. Okay, and have a limited number. Maybe you have a logoed Yeti mug that costs you $40 each.
Yeah.
Okay, and you buy a dozen of them because, you know, for $500, but you're going to give those only to those key people that you've met, your dream customers. You have those behind the, under the table in a box. Mm-hmm. And when you meet that person, hey, I've got something for you. After you have that great conversation, here's, you know, I just wanted to give this to you. They don't have to know that it's specifically for them, that it, this, and they could be, wow, this is a nice mug. Yeah, I just wanted you to have that. Now you've one more connection point that you've made.
That's great advice. That's really good advice. You could have like the, you know, you could do like pens or something. Yep. So everyone else gets their pens and stress balls. And then.
Yes.
Yeah. That's...
Have those high end things that really make an impact. Wow. So it's just for those special people that you know you want to make sure that you've made that lasting impression with them.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah. So now I think we've arrived at number eight.
Number eight. And that is doesn't seem like should be one of the part of the roadmap, but it truly is. And that's execute your best show ever. And that means don't just show up and think that everything's just going to go well. Okay. Maybe your marketing team came in and they set up your booth. Everything looks fantastic. And you come and you don't just show up and things happen. You've got to actually work everything. All these first seven steps come to culmination right here. Mm-hmm. And so that is making sure that everybody gets there early so that you can have that pre-show meeting, so that you can make sure everyone's on the same page. You've gone over your goals. You've done all that. The stuff that we talked about in step five, training, you're going to do it one more time at mm-hmm. the show. And then you're going to give each person, you know, what are your responsibilities aside from engaging with people, maybe one person is, okay, we've got our giveaways, we've got our pens and stuff. And at the beginning of the show, it looks fantastic. But after a few people have grabbed pens, now those pens are a mess all over the, okay, your job is to keep an eye on the pens. And as they get low, restack and make sure that they look pretty. And, you know, so that the next person, every person that walks up to your booth is getting the same impression as if they were the first person that walked up. So that, look, is there something that's on the floor? Did one of the attendees or one of your staff members leave a water bottle right in the middle of your counter? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like, no, get that thing out of here. You know, because it's just a bad look. Make sure nobody's, you know, make sure you, if you're the leader and in charge of this, make sure that nobody's sitting there eating in your booth, because bad look. Again, if you're going to be eating, go outside the booth. Have your snack, have your meal, then come back. But don't be sitting there eating. It's just, it's because no one wants to walk up to somebody that's eating.
Yeah.
It's because now you feel like, they're intruding, and it's just, and then you get something stuck in your teeth, and that's another whole nother conversation to have. But you want to make sure that if you need to call out people, hey, don't eat, just go and then come back. Yeah. Or if someone's on their phone, hey, you know, don't be real public about it, but just take them off to the side. Hey, just leave that, put that away until you go on your break. Then you could check your emails. You could check, unless it's an emergency or something like that. So executing at the show. So you execute at the show at the end of each day. So you have a multi-day show. Debrief with your team at the end of each day. Mm-hmm. What worked today? What didn't work today? What should we do different? People just, they didn't even see the video monitor. Oh, let's move it over to this side of the booth. Maybe, different angle. We thought that the traffic flow was going to go differently. Yeah, let's put it over on this side of the booth. I think that's going to be better to capture people's attention. Sometimes you don't know until you get there.
Yeah.
And you just start in experiencing this whole thing. So debrief with your team at the end of each day, and especially at the end of the show, and really get a good report on what went well, what didn't. Should we do the show again? Mm-hmm. Okay, if we do, what should we do differently? And what can we learn for the next show? Capture all that data, all that information as soon as you can. Again, data and information is perishable. It just goes away. People forget what happened. So, and again, if you have a multi-day show, do this at the end of each day, because if you wait till the end of the show, that last day may have been a complete bust, but the first couple of days may have been solid, and you just remember that last day. So that kind of sours your taste. So do that, and then celebrate with your team. So the three things you want to, train your team, execute well, and then you want to debrief, and then you want to celebrate, because everyone worked hard to be there. Whether you hit your goals or not, celebrating, and if you hit your goals, then have something else planned for the team that was there to help you reach your goals.
That's great advice. That's there's so much there. I think it's great. I think a lot of what you're talking about, like I just think as you were talking about this, like keeping the booth and all that, I'm just thinking like that 5-star service. Like think like you're a fine dining restaurant or a hotel, and like people that show up should always feel like they're the first customer of the evening or the first person to stay in that room. And so that's just it's having that customer service. I think that's awesome. I think it's key.
Absolutely. And I'm going to point out one more thing in the roadmap, and that is this little arrow, which is a top going from 8 to 1, which means this is an iterative process. You learn, you take that data that you captured, and you go, what are we going to do differently? Because you might have another show coming up. Maybe it's the same show next year, but maybe you're doing multiple shows during the year. And what can we learn? And just keep getting better and better and better every single time till you've got this locked in and you are just rocking it.
I mean, am I wrong in saying for people that are watching and listening, like, this is great. Like, say you do like a big show every year, but I'm sure there's some companies like they do a big show and then maybe they're like, well, we do a big national show and then we do a couple regional shows and we do some like local community shows, like maybe things like we were talking about earlier, like maybe they're going to do maybe there's a small trade show that's happening at a business nearby and like, well, we're going to go to that and we'll be part of that. Mm-hmm. Are these all things that like what you learn from the big show could then be taken and even applied at something smaller?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it could be that massive industry show like a NAB or a CES or one of these massive shows, or it could be you have a homemade granola company and you're at the farmer's market. Okay. Yeah. Anytime your customers are walking by you and you've got a booth or a table or something, it's a trade show. Okay. Yeah. You can call it a million different things, a career fair, a health fair, an expo, a conference. it's still the same principles. These are the basics. I mean, this is, and I know it's basics, and you can really go deep and get innovative and get fun with a lot of these different things, but this is the same 8 steps that every single company should go through.
This is phenomenal. Jim, I appreciate you coming and talking with us. I feel like, I know when I listen to your podcast, it always says you're getting your PhD in ROI. And yeah. I feel like everyone watching today, they got their MBA in ROI, so they need to go to you to finish it up.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it.
Where can people learn a little bit more about you?
So tradeshowu.biz is tradeshow, the letter U.biz is the website. On YouTube, we have a YouTube channel. Go to the search for Trade Show University, and we're growing on there. It's a small channel as we grow, though. But there's 230-240 episodes of Trade Show University podcast available on Spotify and Apple and all the good places you get podcast. So all the places.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, guys, go check out Jim, follow him, listen to some podcasts, and thanks for sharing this. We'll have some stuff in the show notes, and looking forward to having you back on in the future.
Would love it. Would love it. And if you want a copy of this, we'll make sure that's available to you. And if you want help, because I know it's a lot of work, reach out. I'd love to be honored to help anybody.
Thanks so much, Jim. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.